last night at 8 o'clock, we held a joint prayer vigil with Trinity United Church of Christ to remember those who died in the horrible attack on a nightclub in Orlando just 1 week ago. A time for us to pray, a time for us to remember those who were killed, those who were injured, ask God's blessing upon them and upon all of the family, all those affected by this horrible, horrible criminal act. A criminal action that our whole nation is still struggling to understand. What inner rage motivated this man to take the lives of so many? Why did he choose to focus his rage on a large group of people in a gay bar? And why did he announce that he was doing it in reaction to American attacks on ISIS? It's so confusing, so mixed up, so much that we probably never will understand. He acted as if he were a man possessed by demons, like the man that we meet in today's gospel reading, the man who encountered Jesus outside the tombs on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, a man who was possessed by 1,000 demons, who so thoroughly dominated every aspect of his life that he lived naked and alone, out among the tombs, outside the town that had once been but could no longer be his home. But in the case of this man, his rage was focused not outward against others, but inward upon his own tortured self. But the moment Jesus arrived on the scene, this man immediately recognized Jesus for who he truly was. Or rather, it was the demons in the man who immediately recognized Jesus as the powerful Son of the Most High God, the one who had come to destroy them by breaking their hold on their helpless victim and by sending them back to the hell that they had come from. They knew that they couldn't stand against Jesus, not even for a moment. All they could do was beg him to send them into another host, which Jesus did, sending the demons into a herd of 1,000 pigs that rushed off the steep bank and were drowned in the sea. And so soon the man with 1,000 demons was sitting at Jesus' feet like a disciple, clothed and in his right mind for the first time in a long time. But interestingly, all the townsfolk, far from grateful for what Jesus had done, were so terrified of his power that they asked him to leave, to go away. Demon possession, they could handle. It was ugly. It was unfortunate, but it was a part of their lives. An unpleasant but necessary bargain with the forces of evil that surrounded them. As long as the demons inhabited their chosen victim, those demons were no threat to them. Better for one man to suffer. Let him carry all the demons of the community. Rather, better that than for the whole community to be in danger. But if they were robbed of their chosen victim, robbed of that convenient compromise with evil, what then? No wonder they were afraid. No wonder they wanted Jesus to be out of there. What does all this have to do with the killings in Orlando? Were those 49 victims considered in one man's twisted mind an unpleasant but necessary bargain to appease the demons that tormented his soul? Was a group of people who were already demonized and vilified by so many in our society thereby made a more convenient target for his rage? I don't know. There's a lot I don't know. But there's one thing I do know. Jesus has come to destroy all the demonic forces that continue to twist human minds and enslave human souls. Jesus has come to do away with all the 1,001 compromises we still make with the evil within us and the evil around us, allowing other convenient victims to suffer in our place. I think of the thousands of children who die every day of hunger in a world where there is enough food to feed everyone. I think of the hundreds right here in Carroll County every year who suffer drug overdoses and scores who die. I think of all those from whom we separate ourselves because their skin is the wrong color, or they love the wrong people, or they pray to the wrong God. Jesus has come to be the willing victim himself, offering his life on the cross to put an end to the whole twisted business of our bargains with the evil within us and around us. When God, the Heavenly Father, sees his Son on the cross, he says, "No more, no more." And that is why, whenever we bring even the youngest child to him for baptism, as we bring Piper this morning, we must first say a resounding no to all the demonic powers that continue to enslave the human race before we can say a meaningful yes to God, to the Father who has claimed us as his own and will not share us with any evil power. That is why, in the waters of baptism, Piper must first be drowned to sin and joined to the death of Christ before she can be raised up to share in Christ's resurrection life, so that she will be able to carry on the struggle with all of her brothers and sisters in God's family. That is why, for the rest of her life, she will carry the sign of the cross on her forehead, that she is the one for whom Jesus gave his life. And what about us? What will happen if we break off all of our convenient compromises and dare to face the evil within us and the evil around us head on, armed with nothing but our naked trust in the one who embraces all people with pure self-giving love, who calls all people his beloved children, and who does this no matter what it costs? What will happen to us if we choose more deliberately and more consistently to become what we already are in Christ, a new kind of human community, where there is no longer Jew or Greek, where there is no longer slave or free, where there is no longer male and female, but we are all one in Christ Jesus, all one in the Lord? What will happen to us if we do this? There's only one way to find out. Amen.